The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
All right, saints. Well, let's pray one more time, and then we will return to our examination of the internet. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would give us a great spirit of wisdom now. Help us to consider a new chapter with new challenges, new temptations, just new questions we need to ask. We pray that your word would uphold us. We pray that your word would shine light on our darkness. We pray that you would help us to live as discerning children of God in this internet age. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. I'm just having, such a good time studying these things and talking about them with you. My prayer is that it's blessing us as a body for really a time that presents us with just new questions that we need to go to the Word and find help on. Where we've been for the last 2 weeks is we began with this chapter, we'll call it, of the Internet and information. And what we're seeking to do is examine the way we get our information over the Internet, the factors that are involved in that, the call of God for us to be truth-seeking, discerning children of God who in even the information we receive are seeking to glorify the Lord, right? We seek to glorify the Lord in all things. And so we're certainly going to do that in the information we're receiving. We spent a good amount of time just considering that objective information, as well as objective news on the internet, they actually are far more difficult to arrive at than you might think when you first start out. Everything from our bias to the bias of the people writing and reporting and editing and all those things, the business model, the search engines that we're using, the manipulation that can even be involved, whether it's anything from fake news to fake images to fake videos. We find we're really facing a whole lot of challenges in rising to be objective children of God. And so we're trying to take every thought captive. We're trying not to, like we said, we're trying not to bear false witness. There's just all these considerations that the Word really brings to the forefront when we consider simply the information we're receiving. Now, one thing that's on my heart to do before we move on is to return one more time to this idea of information and say not simply what we need to avoid, not what we don't want to do, but also what is a Christian vision for the information on the internet. This may not be comprehensive. We may not be able to get to, well, many things, but it's a chance for us to say not just don't do, but what do we want to do? What should we do? And we remind ourselves that if we start out with those fundamental questions, we are already on a good path. The first and foremost is what we said. We said, why are we doing any of this? Right? And if your goal, when you pull up a news story, when you're opening your browser to go search around for whatever you are looking for, if your goal is really purposefully, I want to glorify the Lord in this, man, that right there is a powerful first step. Because the problem is when we don't have any goal when we go online, when we go searching. The problem is when we say, I'll just go wherever the internet takes me. Remember how we were considering the idea that normal is not a safe word for Christians. Normal is usually a word that is anchored to the standards of the world. So if you go the normal direction, if you go with the normal flow, there's really not a whole lot of hope that you're going to end up anywhere good, right? And so we start out simply saying, I am going to glorify God with what I do here. And all these detailed questions will flow from that. But just that you start there is going to be a very good place to be. We resist being thoughtless. We resist being purposeless. Those are all sort of bound up in that question of what is it we're doing? What is our goal? Why are we using the internet and the information that's on it? But then even as we consider that discernment pillar that we've been talking about, discernment on the one hand, what we've been spending time on is discerning what is problematic, obstacles to truth. We've been trying to discern negative things. But I can't help but think that when Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, he goes on to say that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right? Doug Moo on this says, we are seeking to understand and agree with what God wants of us with a view of putting it into practice. Right? So that is more than simply saying no to the world. We're also seeking to say yes to the Lord. We're also seeking to go in the direction He wants us to go. We want an understanding like that of the Lord so that we can live a life that is in accordance with the Lord. So we're not just going to be thinking about what God doesn't want. We're going to be thinking about what God does want. I pull up the browser and I say, how can I please the Lord in this? How can I honor the Lord in this? And we would just be missing out if we didn't recognize the great blessing of all the information available to us. It is an incredible blessing. I mean, people in ancient times, they raved about the Library at Alexandria, and I just think that would look so pitiful compared to what we have put together on the internet, right? Oh, wow, do we have information? And God calls us to be wise. Well, does it help to have information when you're trying to make wise decisions? Right? You absolutely have to. You have to have information if you're going to make wise decisions. And so we thank God that we live in a time when so much information is available to us, even at the same time recognizing that it's sort of hard to navigate it, but we can't deny there's so much information available. The child of God who wants to be wise, who wants to do the hard work of being wise, has an incredible blessing in the internet. As Christians, we should not run from information, but seek to discerningly use that information, right? Use it in a way that pleases God. Use it in the way that God would have us do it. You consider practical day-to-day matters and you think, it is so good that we have the information we have. I think elections, you know, sometimes we get those sample ballots and they're talking about some policy measure or some candidate that I've just frankly never heard of. I'm so grateful that there's a place I can go to easily read more about these people, to read more about these positions. I can read them more about the pros and cons of a given measure. That is helpful, right? We thank God that there is information for things like this. I'm thankful that when something small goes wrong in my car, I'm not just going in there with a wrench seeing if I can figure out where it is. Right? What do? You start Googling, right? You go on YouTube or whatever. You look at all these home projects, all these things that you could just go mucking your way through and eventually figure it out, you know, with an extra $500 in repairs built in. Or you go and you consult these incredibly just freely available, step by step, look at this is how you do it. We thank God for all the information available to us. One thing I said in a past teaching that I would like to clarify on a little bit more right now. I said, I think it was in the first one, I don't think you were here. I said, Brian and I, you don't see us doing a lot of our sermon research online. True? But that's not to say there's no research that we put in online. That's not to say there's no good information online. It's just to say, if you want to Google any given topic, it doesn't matter how orthodox, right, how ancient, you could say, is the Trinity a good thing, right? It's debatable what Google's going to give you there, right? But there is good information out there. And what we do over time is we curate, right? We figure out ministries that are reputable. We figure out teachers that we can consult with confidence. And then suddenly you have access to people on current events, on ancient doctrines, and the whole range in between. And so I wouldn't want you to think that there's not good information out there. It's just, I just want to be really clear. You got to be discerning. Because it's on the internet, well, that's almost a stamp against it. there's scary stuff on the internet. There's absolute heresy on the internet, right? But I wouldn't want to throw out the baby with bathwater, right? There is very good stuff on there, and you're going to curate as we have sources that are worthwhile. There's going to be the option of looking at health matters, at family matters, at all these things. I mean, I think about how often in the past have you ever come up with an issue and think, where do you even go to learn about that? You ever had that, right? Like, you may even be thinking, I don't even know the word that describes that field of knowledge. It's just incredible that, you know, you sit down for 5 minutes, start searching, you'll find the word. You'll find the word, you'll find the concept, you can find whole resources, you can maybe just find references to books. What a wealth. What a wealth of information we have. And it would really not be right if we just, with such a critical eye to this age, just say, oh, no, 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 the internet and its information are all bad. That would be totally wrong. We are so, so rich when it comes to information. A very practical thing to put out there for any of us is the internet's an incredible way to grow in particular skills, right? Most skills that are at all common, you can probably find some community online that's dedicated to talking about those skills, growing in those skills, and whatever, right? It doesn't matter if you want to grow in, well, I mean, quilting or shooting or playing chess or whatever, right? Like, there's somewhere to grow out there. I mean, I'll give you a very specific example. Before I came here, you recall, I did website work and all that kind of thing. About 95% of what I have learned about how to do websites is through tutorials online. There's a start that I had in college, which was super helpful. But, I mean, the reason we have a website, well, in part it's because Martin is great. Is Martin here? You're great. But my part of it is almost entirely just cobbled together online, right? We very practically have something functioning because there's just free information out there. You know, the Proverbs will say, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. If you want to grow in your profession, if you want to grow in your character, if you want to grow in your abilities, whatever it is, you can probably find something online, possibly free, maybe with a charge attached to it. But that's incredible, right? There's no more of this. Is there anyone in my town who can help me with this? It's now you have access to just this worldwide treasure trove of information. Think of also the blessing. Today our offering was for what? Who remembers? Voice of the Martyrs, right? Think of the incredible blessing it is when we consider the Great Commission going forward that we have the internet. Why do I know anything about China cracking down on Christians? Right? It's not because I know someone there who picked up the phone and called me. It's not because I got a letter. It's because the information is so readily available. And we as the Church of God, one of the greatest things we can do is turn the information of the internet into fuel for our prayers. You can pray for the church down the street. You can pray for the church across the country. You can pray for the saints, the martyrs across the world. You can pray. Does prayer matter? Is prayer powerful? Does prayer have a purpose? Does it accomplish anything? I'm trying to jab you, so you say, well, of course it does. Well, then, thank God we've got the information to pray through, right? Thank God for our ability to support the broader church, to be able to support missionaries by being able to pray, right? We're like that long-distance reinforcement. They call in and we go to the throne of grace and bring them before God, and together we're advancing this great commission. There's these incredible blessings of all the information of the internet. We talked about when you've got information, Proverbs 18:17, right? The first to present his case that seems right until the second comes along and examines him. We talked about how this gives us a paradigm for handling information, for how it is we're supposed to find another side, ideally of equals who can interact with each other so you can get really strong, truthful convictions, right? Well, the internet's a fantastic tool for obeying the wisdom of the Lord. I mean, so often what you're able to do online is, again, you can go and find people, meet people, so to speak, that you would never meet in day-to-day life. I can go find that equal. I can go find that side. The Lord tells me I need that wise approach, and I can accomplish it without ever leaving my home. I can go out there in a little bit more safety than just like a heated debate. So I'm beginning to have an idea baking, and I go out and I start looking. What do people think of this idea? I can expose myself to debate, to cross-examination. I can make sure my ideas are actually as solid as I think they are. What a blessing. The internet, whatever the world means it for, the Lord can absolutely take it and use it for the good of his people to build them up in wisdom so that they are walking according to Proverbs 18:17. What a gift. Now, this is my concluding thought on information, and then I'd love to hear yours, because it's taken us about two times to get here, and I've never had enough time for questions. One thing just to conclude with. Go through the world and always ask yourself, how does this stack up compared to the Lord? This is just, frankly, it's a wonderful God-glorifying approach. I ask a question like that of the internet and all the information that it offers us, and I want to praise God all the more. I mean, why is that? It's because we look at, I mean, it was, frankly, a little tiring to go through all the things that make it hard to get objective information in the world. Did anyone feel that? Like, oh, that's going on, that's going on, that's going on, that's going on. It's kind of exhausting. You're thinking, okay, great, now I've got this like 8-point checklist every single time I read a news story or something, right? It is exhausting to go about sifting through information that's inconsistent, sifting through information that's unreliable. The Lord has given us a faithful, living in true word. I compare what I have to do when I go online. Who's writing this? Why are they writing this? What's the business model attached? How are they biased? How are they speaking to my biases? I compare that to just this wonderful, pure simplicity. I open it. I can trust that. I can trust that. I can trust that. Isn't it just relieving to think I have a source of information that requires no sifting? That is a delight, right? It really brings out how good the Word of God is when you compare it to the best of what mankind has come up with. The Word of God shines. Yeah, you got to study it. Yeah, you have to meditate on it. Doesn't mean everything's going to be easy, but you don't ever have to sift out, ooh, better throw that one out. That, can't trust that one, right? You never have to do that with the Word. Thank God for His Word. And I think, too, when we talked about what fruit does the information of the internet so often produce in us. And what we talked about were ways that, you know, reading the news, it stirs up despair, stress, anger, contentiousness, right? All these things that come about when the world is allowed to sort of just open the spigot and pour into our lives. What happens when the Word pours into us? It just produces this wonderful, lovely, pure result. The internet has this way of we find ourselves insulating ourselves, putting ourselves into bubbles, and my bias matches your bias, and so neither of us ever catches that we're totally biased. The Word won't do that. The Word won't settle for that. I can go with plenty of biases to the Word of God, but the Word of God is like this bright light shining into my soul. Even the corners, all filled with black mold and dust that I would rather keep hidden, the living Word of God is going to get to those too. The internet just reinforces my biases. The Word of God exposes them. So there we have a world with this information that so often produces bad fruit in me, so often just isolates me, insulates me, but then I have the Word of God that produces only good fruit, that only makes me, that only builds me up to faith, to knowledge of the Lord, to the fear of the Lord, that will not allow me to stay where I am, but God, by His Holy Spirit, through His Word, is going to cleanse me, straighten me out, put me on the right path, and I think the Word of God is so much better. When we're on this path of just seeking, is there any objective truth I can get online? Oh, I just thank the Lord that we know the truth, which is Jesus Christ Himself, embodied truth, right? We have the truth, no sifting needed. What a joy that the search in some ways is over. Don't look any further. You don't need another source. You have the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Thank God for the treasures he's already given us. They only shine compared to what the world gives us. So let's pause there. You may or may not have had questions building up over these last 2 weeks, comments, ways that you see this playing out in your life. Let's take a moment. What are you thinking? Comments, questions before we move on. You shy bunch. Are you finding this is playing out? Michaela? Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, engage with the world, engage with them as a, you know, as a discerning child of God, right? That's how we're going to be useful, right? Not sticking our heads in the sand, but by engaging. What else? Good sources of what? Well, man, that's fraught right there. Brian recommends Babylon Bee and The Onion. I think the emphasis here is simply to say, how can I fight for balance, right? So I'm not going to do a survey of which news sources you use, but let's take the hypothetical person who really likes Fox News. A Fox News person has learned to hate which network? CNN. Right? Or MSNBC, was that what? Yeah, that works too, right? Hate news in general? Fake news in general. Right, right. And so I think what's actually helpful is to say, okay, if I'm getting one dose of Fox, let's go do one dose of CNN on the same story. On the same story. See how they're presenting it. Right? And you can say that was all wrong. But you can do that after you read it, right? I think we don't help ourselves when we preclude information coming from other sources. So, I mean, I think what I would aim for more is just simply to say, find an opposing opinion, as opposed to this is the news you can trust. I don't really feel safe saying that. I'm just going to be honest. I don't trust any of them. I don't think, you've heard, I've done 2 weeks on why I don't trust any of them, right? It's not that they never say true things. It's just I wouldn't want to put too much weight on any of them. So that would be my recommendation. Find just an opposing source. But I also think what this does, so when you're saying I've got time constraints, amen. Amen. What I would actually push for is say, let's instead of going after 14 items, maybe all we've got time for is to go after one well. Not perfectly, not exhaustively. No one thinks you're going to get a PhD on whatever matter it is, right? But personally, I would rather know one thing well than 14 things with a slant, right? I think what you end up saying is, yes, you do have time constraints. Yes, you do have priorities. So don't go pursuing everything. I respect the people who are the well-read people who say, I know about not just stuff that's happening here, but across the world. I think that's really respectable. But there are spheres of our life, spheres of priority, right? And you really have to be able to prioritize in your life to say, yeah, it's important what's going on that South Africa has no water right now. That's seriously important. But is it what I'm going to deal with? Maybe it's more important that I know what's happening down the street. Right? And I don't mean for a minute to write off South Africa and its water crisis. I just mean I'm limited. I'm very limited. So, you know, just sort of acknowledge and accept those limits and do something well as opposed to do a bunch of things not so well. Take that for what you will. What else? Yeah, Caroline. Mm-hmm. Excellent point. Excellent point. So, I mean, just the conviction that we actually need to know the word if the word is going to guide us, be of use to us when we're encountering all the information of the world. Amen. I can't say it any better than that, Carlene. That was excellent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our prayer life is so much richer because we're able to communicate like we do, right? Not just for missionaries, but I went, you know, by the time we would hear about some of these things, I went to the emergency room or whatever, they would be done, right? They would be over. And what a blessing that we get to pray like that. And I think of all the junk on YouTube, and yet what are we sending out? YouTube links to lyric videos so that our worship is made sweeter. Let me thank God. Yeah. So cool. I mean, the sermons are just powerful, right? So I at Fire, Brian wouldn't tell you this story. So we were at the Fire conference this last week, and someone comes up to me and they're like, hey, I'm from Brazil. And so I'm talking to this gal, and she's like, my husband listens to someone from Nevada. I'm like, is it Brian Borgman? Yes! You know, and cool, right? It's like our Brazilian couple is listening to our brother. Why? Because we're able to contribute to the information that's available with sermons that used to only last for that day and then in the people who took it from there. What a joy that we could archive them and send them out. I'm going to get to this in like the social media probably kind of thing. But, oh, I just encourage you, use the sermons, right? I mean, in some ways what we're doing is building up a spiritual armory, right? We're saying, look it, we've loaded all the weapons. They're just ready to use. Go do some spiritual warfare, right? You're going to find there's a time where someone will listen to a sermon because you suggested it. You don't have to preach the sermon. Just give it to them. And they're all there. Tony and then. Yeah. That's a great point, that your own giftings have a way of guiding you towards the kinds of information that are relevant, right? And so, frankly, I'll confess it, I sometimes read about computer security. I just do, okay? I do. And I know that's not what everyone else can or should do. Economics doesn't do a lot for me. Don't get me wrong, it's interesting. I'm just like, I have no idea what all the puppet masters are doing with us. You know, like, I just can't follow it. And I don't need to spend as much time on those. That's a great point, though. Thank you, brother. All right, Brian. Great. All right, the biblical or theological resources that I use online. There's general ministries you'll have heard of that I'm more willing to read. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm frankly a little bit of a contrarian. It's probably why we get along, right? And probably why I bother you sometimes. Yeah, there it is. And so there's nowhere I'm going to go where I'm just going to say, oh, I always agree with them. Because we're a diverse family, even within our smaller slice of Reformed Christianity. When resources come out of places like Desiring God resources, I tend to just instantly think that's probably going to be of a like mindset, like worldview, like convictions on the word. I'm interested in that. We've noticed how there can be some real differences on, say, Gospel Coalition. Every now and again, absolutely. Sometimes I'm like, well, I'm glad you're writing movie reviews, but, you know, I don't need that quite as much or look for that quite as much. You know, one resource that is useful for jogging my mind, it's called the Open Bible Topical Organization, something like that. If you type in Open Bible Topical, you'll get there. And all it is just this big database of people voting on verses that apply to topics, right? And so if you're saying, it has to be a broad topic, it can't be too specific, but you go to I'm looking for, what's that verse on encouragement? You'll find people have just started assembling a list. I find that useful. I actually use that all the time. And so things like that are useful. What else? I mean, databases aren't helpful here. Databases are frankly kind of terrible. So there's academic databases of articles, and you just get the wildest range of articles out of that. What else do you use? Yeah, you. Post-Reformation Digital Library, okay. Monergism. Yeah, Monergism is another good name that I feel good about. I will read some blogs, but blogging as an atmosphere has a sort of, let's just call it toxic quality to the air. And it's just painful. It's just painful sometimes. But I mean, I'll still read like Challies and DeYoung. If Jim Neuheiser posts something, I'll read Jim's. If IBCD, you know, our biblical counseling curriculum does something, I'll read them. I think they're real trustworthy. I'll read biblical counselors because generally they're practical and they're often very current because that's what they're dealing with, right? So people like what Pallison, the Trips, CCEF, that's a good resource. So that's a few. That's a few. Was there a last hand? Sure. What to do if a website is lying to you? Well, probably you just end up saying, okay, that's not a trustworthy site, and you don't use it. Because the alternative is I'm going to go and start posting messages to them and about them. And that's that toxic air I was talking about where it's just people fighting with each other. What I think is useful to know, and that's why, frankly, it is useful to have opposition websites. I need to know if when someone says, oh, by the way, did you read on modalism.com that there's this brand new theory of the Trinity, right? Like, I want to know, oh, that's not trustworthy. I want to have some flags go up about that. So that's why it's useful to know what's not good, too. Now, I would say don't spend all your time there, though, right? Like, don't just go like, I want to go read lies. That's not, you know, it's just like, I want to go and only eat nacho cheese. What do you think that's going to do to you, right? So knowing lies and marinating in lies is different. Molly. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you just brought up a good point. I hadn't even mentioned podcasts. Anyone, are we podcast people here? A few, like five of us? Okay, maybe it's okay I didn't mention it. But yeah, so World Magazine you just mentioned. World Magazine has a good reputation of having a Christian worldview and some discernment about them, so I'm sure that's good. Al Mohler tends to do pretty good things online. Like, I remember I really benefited just, a week or two ago now. He did a summary on the California bill that had passed that's going to be just so bad for the church in California, right? And so that was really helpful. Yeah, let's not rule out those folks, too. Martin. Okay. Well, now I'm sort of sitting here thinking, okay, do we launch into the next one or do we have more questions? And so if there's someone with a really good question left, you still have a good window for it, or else we'll just launch forward and see if we can do a little more. Deal. Okay. So we're going to move now out of this chapter of the internet and information, and we're going to move into the internet and communication. The internet and communication is my umbrella that I'm hoping to cover everything from email to social media. And we'll sort of see how that goes. We got to kind of build up. As soon as I say social media, everyone's like, talk about it now. Sorry, we're not doing it today. But bear with me. Laying a foundation, right? Laying a foundation. So what I want to consider first is just the basic ways we communicate when it comes to the internet. The basic ways we communicate, right? And we're going to try and run through a real similar set of questions. We're talking about why we do these things, how we do these things, what kind of fruit are they producing, how are we guarding against sin and temptation, business models, and the like. We're going to try and work through all of that, but now considering communication. Now, when it comes to forms of communication, I mean, that is what the internet's about, right? The internet is kind of fundamentally about communicating. And so we're doing just a ton of written communication. I pity some of you for, I'm sure your email inbox is just ticking up, right? Some of you? Yeah. Sorry to bring that up on a Sunday. And, we're emailing at an incredible pace. I'm going to include texting in this. And if you really want to object technologically that it's not the internet, it's going to be soon. They're changing the standard. See the things I read about that you don't, right? So, anyways, I'm going to include texting, I'm going to include chatting, any kind of messenger function, all of that in written communication. We're not just communicating in words anymore, though. We're communicating in pictures, right? I take a photo 3 inches from my face, ha, you know, send it to you. Self-destruct in 5 seconds once they get it, right? Because it's a terrible photo, but for some reason I thought it was good to send to you, right? We Yeah, Snapchat. You kids and your Snapchat. Anyway, we communicate not just through pictures we take, certainly not pictures we draw. That doesn't seem to be a thing. But then, like, why do we all know the word emoji, right? Don't you all just feel a little, like, ugh, sleazy for knowing that word? It's just like, why did that become a thing, you know? And so we communicate, and it's the funniest thing. People sometimes write back, no words, just an emoji. And I remember I got one recently, and it was like, what was it? It was like, you know, like, it was just lines for eyes and like a closed mouth. And I'm like, they seem to think that helps this conversation advance. I do not know what that means, right? And it's funny we're doing that, though, right? Thumbs up, 100, mug, wine glass, you know, whatever. And it's just, that's a form of communication, right? I don't know where that falls in, like, the field of linguistics. That seems like a devolving trend, but, you know, whatever, right? We're communicating even through video now, which is really interesting. Photo and video have gone hand in hand, really, with the universalization of smartphones, right? Cameras getting very good, memory being capable of holding big files. And suddenly, it's not just that we can all take nice photos. Now, it's like we can take 4K video. It's just really pretty incredible. We're doing it casually. We're doing it, the adventurous people are doing it, you know. I mean, have you seen those videos now? Like, some guy's like, hey, watch me ride my bike across the ridgeline of some mountain and I'll die if I fall off. Have you seen these? It's just really incredible, the experiences we're able to share now. Then again, we do just these silly things like, watch, I'm going to do a looping 1 second video. It's just going to be like, me like, right? You seen these videos? And it's, oh, the riches of human communication, right? So let's start out with the simplest. Simplest technologically, but not at all in terms of implementation. Let's start out with written communication, right? We're writing all the time, right? I mean, for how many of us is email an absolute central part of pretty much every day? Right? It's just so common. Then if you expand that, how many on top of that have texting involved every day? Right? Oh, right. I know. It's just so, oh, the world these days, right? And so it's words, words, words. And the scriptures have a ton to say about words, don't they? Right? And the potential that words have bound up in them, the potential for good, the potential for harm. Hear the word of the Lord. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life. And that takes almost no explanation. Have you ever been devastated by something someone said? Have you ever been built up by something someone said? All that power just bound up in words, right? And so we have the power to encourage, we have the power to edify, we have the power to evangelize through these written forms of communication, but we have the power to destroy. We have the power to gossip and slander and lie and stir up strife, all these things in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Talk about something to aspire to have your words have the sweetness of the Lord in them, to be able to build people up just by the well-chosen words that you use. But Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You've ever had someone who just goes around just destroying people without a thought with their words? Maybe you've been that person, right? We see that words just have so much potential in them. You can't look at the word faithfully and say, oh, it doesn't matter what I say. The Lord's not buying it. We shouldn't buy it. And discernment, back to that idea of we're going to be discerning in all these aspects, discernment means that we have to look critically at our words. And we have to prepare to use them well. We have to prepare to use our words well. We have to guard against using them poorly. Now, we have a lot of gun proponents here. I'm sure a number of you have taught people to use guns, haven't you? What's the first thing you teach them? Well, the first thing I think you should learn is how to spin it on your finger. Right? You say, no, no. The first thing you teach them is safety. Right? You say, this is a weapon. It can kill, destroy, maim, all these things. Therefore, the very first thing you must know is how to not use it the wrong way. What would you think if the gun instructor said, here you go, I put one in the chamber, just go and, you know, enjoy yourself. Probably a bad gun teacher, right? That's not how you start. Don't we do this with our words? And I will hold out to you that for all the damage a gun can cause, words have caused far more damage. Words have destroyed relationships. They have overthrown leaders. And yet, we have this attitude sometimes of, I don't need to prepare. I don't need to guard. I'm just going to go experiment. I'll just go see how the day goes. And I'll just say whatever. There we are, wielding a weapon. Far more powerful than a gun. And yet we're doing it with so little thought. Words that are more dangerous and words that we're just using all day long. Discernment requires that we look critically at our words. Discernment requires that we are going to say, I'm going to be a person who knows how to use words well, who uses words well. And I mean that in a spiritual sense. I don't mean that in a grammatical sense. Brian and I both believe in grammar. That's not what we're talking about right now per se. Right? The spiritual sense of using words well. And moreover, I'm going to guard against the person who's just going around shooting off and destroying whoever is in the way. Now, as we come to written communication, discernment is going to just force us to confront that writing is not actually easy. People who think writing is easy, never mind. that wasn't going to go anywhere all that helpful. Okay. Discernment means recognizing that writing is actually difficult. And sometimes we feel that, right? You're just like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to write anymore. I don't want to email anyone. I certainly don't want to text anyone, right? You can feel the ways that writing is actually hard. Writing is hard because simply expressing your thoughts clearly is hard. So I've taken a lot of writing classes. And one thing that's just real common is the note in red ink not clear, unclear. What do you mean here? Or just, you know, question mark, right? It's not actually just a given that what's in your brain is going to get clearly onto the paper for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's because it's not clear in your brain. Sometimes it's because it's just not that easy to figure out the right words for expressing an idea. Just basic ideas are hard. And when you write, there's also this ability for connotations to creep in. Meanings that you weren't really thinking about, or maybe you were, but they add weight, they add a different light to the just simple, basic meaning of the words that you were writing. I was picturing a way that this could come up, and so I was thinking, okay, what's a scenario I could see doing with Naomi? So Naomi, maybe she has a long, difficult day, and I'm about to come home, and she texts me, will you pick up a pizza? I can totally imagine me or the guy response. All I'm trying to do is clarify, but I write back, so you didn't make dinner? Right? Right? Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? That is such a simple statement, right? Maybe I'm just a little slow. Why do you want a pizza? Do you want a frozen pizza? Do you want a cooked pizza so you didn't make dinner? Right? Next thing you know, oh, we're, you know, repairing that wound for the rest of the night, right? I mean, you can picture just all these ways that connotations creep in. Let's even say just her comment, would you pick up a pizza? Let's say that when we left in the morning, it was kind of just on a strain, you know? It'd been a harder morning, we disagreed about something. She maybe ended it with, you know, Jason, you really need to do more around the house. And then I get a text, will you pick up a pizza? And I see that as like, can you do something? Can you pick up a pizza? Connotations creep in. And then we laugh because I think we've all probably shot ourselves in the foot on these things, right? We've been on one side or the other of these things. Writing is not easy. Writing is actually often something that people in general struggle with. And so then someone says, hey, I've got a great idea. Let's build the whole information economy on writing. You see how that becomes a problem? And then we say, you know what? I don't have time to write full thoughts. I know. Let's write short thoughts. That's going to help. Right? That way, I know that when I write quickly and shortly and don't include all my thoughts, I'm more likely to be understood. It's not how it works, is it? No, we're actually in a very similar place. When I was saying that we need to discern that news organizations have certain challenges to their objectivity, one of them was the form in which they write or the form in which they communicate. It's always condensed. And we said in a news story, you're going to have the problem that when you condense a story, you simplify it and you have a way of missing details, of missing things that you would have included if you had twice as much time, but you don't, and so you lose something. As soon as we become the content producers, as soon as we become the writers, we're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing. And I think text messaging is just the worst, right? You're just sitting there and just like, you ever thought like, okay, I got to explain this, and it's just an unending text, and it's just awful to write, and like, you're getting hot, you're keyboard's hot in your hands, you're mistyping things. It's so painful to edit that you never go back and edit. So what it ends up being is just stream of consciousness is channeled through your thumbs. And we just end up with really faulty communication. Writing on its own is hard. And writing gets no easier when we shorten it, when we condense it, when we require it to fit into tiny little spaces. And so I'm just going to, unfortunately, I got to pause here because I got 1 minute. So concluding comments here. I guess what we just need to leave this with, and we'll, Lord willing, well, actually next week we won't be picking up. We've got 1 week in between. I'll be out of town next weekend. But I would just have you say, my written words are meant to glorify the Lord. My written words have the power to destroy my neighbor. My written words have the ability to build up my neighbor. Start there. Start there, and you're on a great track. Before you type a single letter or emoji or whatever, just say, God is meant to be glorified. My neighbor is meant to be blessed. And frankly, if I do this wrong, God will not be glorified, and my neighbor will be torn down. We'll simply start with recognizing what the Proverbs said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's pause there. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the treasures you've given us. Really, we are an incredibly rich people with all the information available to us. We pray you'd make us wise. Make us a wise and discerning people so that we're not going out here just swallowing everything there is to swallow. But make us wise to go seek out good information and be built up for it. As we consider our words, may this day be a day where our words are saturated in grace. May we be a people who don't tear down, who don't destroy, but who glorify you, even in the shortest text message. Please be gracious to help us. Please be gracious to expose to us the areas we need to grow. And we pray now that you will bless the Lord's Day. Bless us as we worship you. Bless us as we need you. May the visitors who come find this church welcoming. May they find your word powerful. May you be gracious to save. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.